My name is Dan. I'm one of the assistant ministers here, and it's really great to see so many of us gathered this evening for midweek. Now, tonight's session is going to be a bit different from our usual midweek program. So typically at midweek, we come together in small groups to work through a book of the Bible. This year, that book is the Old Testament book of Exodus. However, from time to time, we also have all-in sessions, partly to mix it up, but also in these all-ins, we also get the opportunity to pause for a bit and to think through specific issues or topics which flow out from our midweek studies. And in tonight's session, we are going to be thinking about how to read and apply Old Testament narrative. Now, the eagle-eyed amongst us may have noticed that this is not the exact topic stated in your midweek calendars. So in your midweek calendars, today's session is actually meant to be about the much bigger and broader question of how to apply the Old Testament. Now, why we decided to tweak and narrow the topic? Well, two reasons. Firstly, while we could have went in tonight thinking about applying the whole of the Old Testament, for those of us who are familiar with the Old Testament, you'll know that the Old Testament is made up of many different books with many different genres, like narrative, wisdom, prophecy, Old Testament law, poetry, apocalyptic, each of which have their own unique characteristics and also considerations when we think about applying them. And so rather than giving a very broad session, which tries to touch on all of those things, I figured given this year we are looking at Exodus and Old Testament narrative, I thought it'd be perhaps more helpful for us to focus our attention on an Old Testament on reading Old Testament narratives, so that hopefully the things we hear tonight will be things we can go on to immediately apply when we look at Exodus in our groups for the rest of the year. Now, the second thing about the topic, which you might have noticed is a bit different, rather than just applying Old Testament narratives, I've decided to tweak our topic to also include how to read Old Testament narratives. And the reason for this might be obvious, but it's because before you can apply the Old Testament, you first need to be able to read it and understand it. And the more I've spoken to people about how they found Exodus, the more I've sat in on groups, I've been increasingly made aware that there are many of us here for whom perhaps reading and understanding Old Testament narratives might be an unfamiliar or maybe a less familiar thing. And so today, I want to try and equip us with some tools to do that, so that as we better understand these stories in the Old Testament, we can then have greater confidence in applying them to our lives today. So, just some opening clarifications. Now, with that aside, it'd be great if you can all keep your handouts in front of you. They should, each of your tables should have a whole stack of them. If you don't have a handout, you can come up to the stage. There are a bunch over here. But before we begin, how about I pray and we'll jump straight in. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the precious gift of your word. As we think now about how we can better understand it and consider how your word should shape us, we pray for your spirit's help. Please give us energy, please free us from distraction, and please grow us to know you more, love you more, as we encounter you through your life-giving word. Amen. Now, to get us started, we're thinking about reading Old Testament narratives tonight. Just to warm up the engines, in your tables, in your groups, or with the people beside you, have a chat about the following questions. Now, how familiar are you with stories in the Old Testament? What do you enjoy? What do you struggle with? What do you find weird about these Old Testament stories? Let's take a few minutes to chat with one another about these questions. Okay, great to hear lots of chatter and discussions. I might break into your discussions. Now, I'm not sure what you said in your groups, and so maybe the Old Testament is something that you love and are very familiar with. However, in my experience, speaking to Christians, I found that for many Christians, the Old Testament is it's sort of like the weirder, less familiar part of the Bible. And because that's how Christians can sometimes see it, it can feel more intimidating, maybe confusing to read. And that sometimes, I think, leads us to maybe not reading or not paying as much attention to the Old Testament as we read the Bible for ourselves. Now, today I want to begin by trying to persuade us that the Old Testament, and in particular the narratives or stories that we find in the Old Testament, really are worth reading. And there are many reasons, but let me give you three. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Let me read that for us. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Here's some very famous words from the Apostle Paul. And what do they tell us about the Old Testament scriptures? Well, two main things. Firstly, Paul tells us that the Old Testament scriptures, which include the narratives recorded there, they are the words of God himself, breathed out from the mouth of God. And so when we come to read the Old Testament and the stories we find in it, do remember that these are not just interesting and amusing stories. No, this is God's word to us. This is the God of the universe, God himself, speaking to you and I. Which I hope you realize is an incredible thing. But secondly, Paul also tells us that on top of the really astounding fact that we get to hear God speak, 2 Timothy also reminds us that these words are a profitable word to us. They help us in teaching us, in reproving us, correcting us, training us in righteousness. In other words, Paul says, if you want to grow as a Christian, and I hope all of us do, Paul says, read the Old Testament. Know the stories in it. Because these scriptures are profitable and will grow us as followers of Jesus. And third and final reason, more specific to reading narrative, another reason I think it's really worth learning how to read narrative is because narrative is the dominant genre of not just the Old Testament, but the Bible as a whole. Narratives account for something like 40% of the Old Testament. They make up a large part of the New Testament as well. And so, if we have the skills to read and understand narratives and stories in the Bible, these are skills that will help you to read and understand. I read something like 60% of the Bible, which is massive. So, some reasons for why what we're doing tonight is hopefully something that's worthwhile. Now, we've talked about the Old Testament, about Old Testament narrative, but just for clarity's sake, what exactly is Old Testament narrative? So, when we speak of Old Testament narrative, we are speaking about a certain literary genre. So, just like how there are many different genres of music, different kinds of music, like jazz, pop, dance music. Well, the same goes with literature. There are many different literary genres. And that's something that we see in the Bible. The Bible is made up of many books with many different genres. We've got prophecy in books like Isaiah. We've got wisdom literature in books like Proverbs. And so narrative, it's just one of those genres. And it is basically the story genre, which is something I'm sure we're all familiar with. Many of us read stories. Many of the best works of literature are stories. But more than just being a story, there are three important things for us to remember about these stories in the Old Testament. And the first is that Old Testament narratives are historical narratives. That is, the events in these stories are grounded in history. They record things that have actually taken place. These are not just fairy tales or myths or legends. No, these are true events being presented in the story. Now, on top of being historical, Old Testament narratives, they're also theological in nature. Which is just a fancy way of saying Old Testament narratives teach us about God, who he is, his character, what he's done in history, what he's doing in our world now. Theological. And finally, third thing, on top of being historical and theological, Old Testament narratives are also Christological. That is, they teach us about Christ. They teach us about who Jesus is and what he's done. Because as we read in Luke chapter 24, Jesus himself tells his disciples that the Old Testament scriptures are in fact about him, fulfilled in him, written concerning him. Okay, so that's a quick rundown of what Old Testament narrative is. Stories grounded in history that teach us about God and about Jesus. Now, moving on to what we're hoping to achieve from the session tonight, or the goal as we read Old Testament narratives, or for that matter, actually, as we read any part of the Bible, as we read the Bible, we always have two main objectives that we're trying to achieve. And so the first is to understand the passage, to actually wrap our heads around what is being said, why it's been written. And the second is to apply the passage, to actually let what is said in the passage affect us and change us. And I understand that lots of us over here might be familiar with these things, but for the sake of the many of us here in this room who might be new to Houston Church, let me quickly run through this, what we are trying to achieve whenever we read the Bible. So, understanding it, what are we trying to understand in any given bit of the Bible? Well, the first thing we want to try and figure out is the main point. The main point is the central truth the author is conveying in the story. Or put another way, what is the passage saying? Maybe it's saying that God always keeps his promises, or that God is powerful, or that God loves us. And so if you have to distill what is the main teaching point or truth the passage is trying to convey, what is it? That's the first thing we want to try and work out. However, when the biblical author states a truth, that is the main point, he doesn't just state it for the sake of. You know, he's not just putting it out there for no reason. Rather, these truths are always communicated with a purpose in mind. They are meant to effect a certain response in the person reading it. And so if the author wrote, say, a chapter in the Bible to persuade us that God always keeps his promises, well, a good question to ask is, why? Why is he telling us this? And so maybe it's so that we might trust God more. Maybe it's so that we don't lose hope. Or maybe it's so that we might rejoice in God's faithfulness to his promises. And so on top of asking, what is the passage saying, do also ask, why is the author telling us this? Because both of those questions will help us to better understand the passage. However, while understanding the passage is very important, that is actually only half the job done. Because what we then need to think about is our second major goal, which is to apply the passage. And applying the passage, it's simply this. Given the author's purpose, given how he wants his readers to respond to what he's written, how then does this look like for us now? What does it look like in practical terms to live out the author's purpose? And so that could involve maybe changing the way we behave or act. It could involve changing the way we think. Or it could even involve maybe changing the way that we feel. And so again, let's just say if we're in a chapter in the Bible which tells us that God always keeps his promises. And let's say that the author wrote this so that we would trust God more. Well, then application, it is all about thinking through, but what does trusting God look like practically? What would it look like to trust God in my life now? That's what we mean by application. And so those are our two major goals we are aiming for as we think about reading and applying Old Testament narrative, which brings us to, the next logical question. Okay, how then do we do that? Okay, so how do we read and understand a passage? And how do we figure out the main point, the purpose? And how do we then go on to apply that to our lives today? Well, that's what we're going to think about for the rest of our time now. In the next two sections, I'm going to introduce us to some Bible reading tools that will hopefully help us to understand a passage and to help us to apply it better. But before that, in our tables again, in our groups, how about we chat about this question for the next 5 minutes? What are some things you typically look for to help you understand what a passage is saying? All right? What are some things you typically look for to help you understand what a passage is saying in our groups? Good. So I hope from that discussion, you'll all realize that every single one of us are reading the Bible in some way. For some of us, that might be a very methodical and concrete process. But for others of us, maybe it's something a bit more intuitive. It's a bit more of a vibey approach. Well, in this section, what I'm hoping to do is to equip us with some concrete reading skills, skills which will hopefully push us a little bit further along from just loosey-goosey, you know, getting the vibe of the passage, to us being able to actively read it. Okay, so consciously work out its meaning. And the first tool I want to introduce us to is the Bible Timeline tool. And so when we consider any narrative in the Old Testament, the first thing for us to remember is that this story, it is actually part of the bigger story of the entire Bible. And so contrary to popular belief, the Bible is not a collection of 66 random books that have been smushed together. No, it is one big story. And the big story of the Bible, like many other stories we both hear in the Bible and outside the Bible, it follows a plot line with these elements. There's an introduction, a problem, a quest to overcome the problem, which leads to a climax, followed by the ending. And so where do we see this in the Bible? Well, I've drawn out a little timeline for us. Well, in the introduction or the beginning, well, that's something that we see in Genesis 1 and 2, that we are told that God creates the world, and he creates man to rule the world under him. But before long, we encounter a problem. When Genesis 3, sin and death enter the world in the fall. Now, from here on, the rest of the Bible story, it now centers on a quest to solve this problem. Beginning with God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 12 to bless the world, reversing the curse of sin. This quest ultimately climaxes in the Gospels, where Jesus, Abraham's offspring, comes into the world to overcome the Genesis 3 problem of sin and death. And after this climax, we then have the closing stages of the story, where Jesus' disciples continue Jesus' work as we await his return. Which brings us to the ending of the story, the new creation. In the book of Revelation, the final chapters of the Bible, when Jesus comes to take his people home to be with him forever. That's a very mini version of the big story of the Bible. And so, coming back to reading Old Testament narratives, one question that will help us to understand our passage better is, where is this story on the Bible timeline? Now, as an example, for us this year, looking at the book of Exodus, I guess we would find ourselves somewhere towards the left-hand side of that box on the timeline, right after the events of Genesis. And as we've read Exodus 1 to 11 so far, you probably have realized that that's actually pretty helpful information to know. Because it's only having read the story of Genesis that we know about who God is, as he's introduced in Genesis, why Exodus is set in Egypt, because that's where Genesis ends, why the world is in such an awful state, because of Genesis 3. But it's also having read Genesis and understood the bigger story of the Bible that we also get to understand more why in Exodus God makes such a big deal about his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because here is God's solution to the big problem we see in the Bible. Okay? And so that's our first tool. Where is the story on the Bible timeline? Which leads us to our second related Bible reading tool, the context tool. And so there's a little saying that I love, a text without context is a con. Have you heard that one? A text without context is a con. Which is basically saying, if you read any text in the Bible without understanding its context, that is basically a recipe for misunderstanding and misapplying what the Bible is saying. And so understanding a passage's context, it is very, very important if we want to rightly understand what it's saying. And when we think about a passage's context, I find it helpful to think about context in layers. And so at the broadest level, we have the context of the whole Bible, which is basically the Bible timeline tool. And so what is the Bible, the whole Bible saying? The next level down, we have the context of the Bible book, which considers, what is that particular book in the Bible saying? And so what is Exodus as a whole about? And how might some of the big ideas and themes in the book of Exodus shape the way I understand this passage I'm now reading in Exodus? Another level down, we have the context on the chapter level, which takes into account questions like, you know, what comes in the previous chapter? What comes in the next chapter? And how does that help me to understand the details in the chapter that I'm currently reading? We can even take the context tool down to the verse level. And so if you've ever wondered, you know, in a Bible study, oh, there's a weird phrase in this verse, you know, what does it mean? Well, perhaps it's worth asking, are there any clues in the surrounding context, in the surrounding verses, which may help me to understand this? So that's tool number two, context. And so if we come to a passage asking those questions, if we read a story and I'm a bit confused by some of its details, those questions, reading what comes before, what comes after, that will help us to better understand what's going on. Now, another tool to help us better understand narratives is to pay attention to dialogue, the dialogue that goes on in these stories. And so what do the characters say? And what might that reveal to us? Now, generally with Old Testament narratives, Old Testament stories, I typically find it helpful to imagine them unfolding a bit like a movie, like scenes in a movie. And so, as an example, Exodus chapter 1, you can imagine, can't you, the opening verses of Exodus chapter 1, when the author recounts the story so far. You can maybe imagine a pitch black screen with giant text scrolling like in Star Wars, giving you a recap of the story so far. Sometimes you also get scenes like the one in chapter 1, verse 8 to 14, where maybe it's a bit like a time-lapse montage, where years pass, you move from scene to scene. One moment you're in Pharaoh's palace with him seated on the throne. But in the next verse, you're outside, under the hot sun, you know, watching Israelites carrying heavy burdens. However, at other times in these stories, you also get these close-up scenes where sometimes the camera zooms in and pauses to capture a moment when the characters speak. And whenever a dialogue is introduced in a narrative, that often has the effect of slowing the story down. And usually in Old Testament narratives, when characters speak, this is often a cue from the author for us to listen. Because dialogue often sheds light on the characters, and also significant ideas in the story. And so it tells us more about who the characters are, what they believe in. And we also find out, I think, that dialogue in narratives quite often reveal truths which run through the central plot line of the narrative. And so perhaps you noticed that in us looking at Exodus so far, the first 11 chapters. And so do you recall some of the dialogues that we've seen? Maybe in Exodus chapter 3, or Exodus chapter 6, when the Lord speaks with Moses. And those have all been pretty significant conversations, haven't they? Because as God and Moses speak, there we learn about who the Lord is, what his plans are for his people, what he will do, and we even get a window into the sort of person Moses is. All of which are key bits of information to understanding the story. Okay? So that's another tip. Do pay attention to that. Pay attention to the dialogue, because quite often there might be something significant going on there. Now, this next tool is a tool very familiar to many of us, and one I suspect all of us use, whether we're aware of it or not. And so it's a very useful Bible reading tool called the Repeated Words and Ideas tool. And so when you look at a passage or a story, ask, are there any words or ideas that are repeated? And this matters because if something is repeated again and again, there's a good chance that the author reckons that this is significant and is perhaps wanting us to take notice. Now, over the course of Exodus so far, I'm sure many of us have seen lots of instances of this. But since we previously just talked about God speaking to Moses in Exodus chapter 6, when we look at that conversation, it's really interesting how God, when he speaks, he repeats himself quite a bit. And so chapter 6 verse 6, when God tells Moses what to say to the Israelites, God tells Moses, "Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, I will bring you out, I will deliver you, I will redeem you." Which, if you think about it, that's just three different ways of conveying the same idea, that I will rescue. And so looking at that verse, I want to, based on the repeated idea, I wonder, can you make a guess about what God is saying about who he is and what he wants to do for his people? And so, repeated words and ideas. Which brings us to our final Bible reading tool. Our final one, what difference does Jesus or the New Testament make to our story? So, we as New Testament Christians, who now stand on this side of Jesus' death and resurrection, we believe that the New Testament, and specifically the person of Jesus, affects the way that we understand the Old Testament. Because, as we mentioned at the start, Jesus himself says that the Old Testament ultimately points to him. And so therefore, if that is what the Old Testament is ultimately about, well then that should shape how we understand it as Christians. And so the question is, how then do we work that out? How do we figure out the difference which Jesus makes to our understanding of this Old Testament story? And so here are two questions to ask yourself. Do Jesus or the New Testament authors make reference to this passage anywhere in the New Testament? Let me repeat that again. Do Jesus or the New Testament authors make reference to this passage anywhere in the New Testament? And this, I think, it's worth asking because if they do make reference to it, oftentimes they tell you how we ought to think about this part of the Old Testament in light of Jesus. Second question, are there any characters, things, or themes that serve as little models of Jesus and what he does? I'll say it again. Second question, are there any characters, things, or themes that serve as little models of Jesus and what he does? And so when we look at the entire sweep of the Bible, you'll notice that there are many recurring ideas in the Bible. And so some examples are kingship, sacrifice, rescue, forgiveness, judgment. And very often, these recurring themes, they start in the Old Testament in the form of a person, a thing, or an event. But slowly, they develop in the rest of the Old Testament and into the New. And it's only when we get to the New Testament, often that we see that these ideas or themes, they find their ultimate fulfillment in the person and work of Jesus. And so some of the examples that we mentioned, kingship. In the New Testament, we see that Jesus, he is the ultimate king, which all Old Testament kings of Israel sort of point towards. Sacrifice, Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. We see that in Hebrews, that all Old Testament sacrifices were a shadow of. Rescue, Jesus is the great rescuer of God's people, which previous rescues foreshadowed. And so as we read the Old Testament, it's worth keeping an eye out for some of these big themes in the Bible. Now, this isn't always straightforward, and it does require some familiarity with both the Old and New Testament. But as you read the Bible more, it does get a bit easier to think about some of these connections. Okay, great. So, many other Bible reading tools that we could talk about tonight, but those are just a few to get us started. Now, if you want to read more about that sort of thing, one book that I would highly recommend is a book called Dig Deeper. Dig Deeper by Andrew Satch and Nigel Bynum. If you haven't read it, please do. It's one of the most helpful books I've read on reading the Bible, and it fleshes out lots of the things that we've talked about so far. But for tonight, again, just to get us started, those are just like, you know, five top tips on how to read Old Testament narratives. Which leads us to our last segment on application. Because as I mentioned earlier, as students of the Bible, we don't just want to understand it. No, we also want to apply it. To see why this matters for us today. And so how then do we apply? I've got a few tips for us, but before we get into that, in our tables again, let's have a chat about this question. What have you found difficult about applying Exodus so far? Let's talk about that. So now that we've understood, we've thought about understanding the passage, I want to end off our time by giving us a few tips on how to apply Old Testament narratives as we close. And one question I found helpful to ask myself as I'm thinking about how to apply an Old Testament narrative is, what does the story in the Old Testament teach me about God and what he's done for us in Jesus? Right, so what does this story in the Old Testament teach me about God and what he's done for us in Jesus? Now, earlier I mentioned that at its core, Old Testament narratives are theological and Christological. That is, they are written to teach us about God and show us more about Christ. And so if that is how these stories in Old Testament are meant to function, then it's quite important for us to remember that as we apply these stories. And so having understood what a passage is saying, it's worth reflecting. What does this passage teach us about God? What does it tell us about his character? What does it tell us about his plans for the world? Furthermore, what does this passage teach us about God's chosen king, Jesus? Does this passage teach us anything about how we should relate to God? Does this passage teach us anything about how we ought to respond to God's chosen king? Those are just a few questions to get us thinking along those lines as we apply. Questions which, if you think about our time in Exodus so far, very interestingly, I've always found it quite striking that Exodus, the book of Exodus, seems to make a very big deal about those questions. This idea of knowing the Lord. And so how does this passage shape the way that we see God? Okay, so that's tip number one. Now, a second application tool I want to introduce to us is called the Who Am I tool, right? The Who Am I tool. Now, but before I explain what that is, I want to give us maybe a bonus activity for us. 3 minutes in our groups, have a go at this question, this exercise. Think of some creative ways to misapply Exodus 1 to 11, okay? And so try and do this by identifying yourself with any of the following characters. The Lord, Pharaoh, the magicians of Egypt, right? So next 3 minutes, unleash your inner heretic. Go ahead and misapply Exodus 1 to 11. Okay, I think that's enough heresy for one night. I hope you had fun with that exercise. And I hope after having done that, you'll maybe see where I'm going with this next application tool and maybe see some of the problems that we get ourselves into if we put ourselves in the wrong shoes or if we mistakenly identify who we are in the story. Now, in every story, there are going to be multiple characters in each story. And so we always have God there, who is the main character. We usually have some main human characters. And usually in there, we also have some minor characters. Now, the point of the Who Am I tool is to work out which character, if any, are we supposed to identify with in a story. And this is an important tool because I think very often we make mistakes here. And a common mistake we make, I think, is many of us often have main character syndrome, where we often identify ourselves as the main human character and apply these Old Testament stories in that way. And so a classic example, you know, David and Goliath, who am I? Well, I'm King David slaying the giants in my life. In Exodus, I'm Moses looking for my burning bush moment. Now, but if we just pause to think about, you know, who am I in the story, it doesn't take a lot to realize that perhaps that might not be right. Because when you consider maybe a story like Exodus, its context, and specifically who Moses is, it's fairly clear that none of us are God's specially chosen prophet who defeats God's enemies. None of us are the saviors and deliverers of God's people. In fact, most of us here, I think, already know that there's someone else who fits those descriptions better. And so a good instinct to develop when we read Old Testament narratives is to remember that you're probably not the Old Testament, you're probably not the hero of the story, okay? Now, but if we aren't the heroes, well, then who are we? And this is where I think we need to consider, well, which characters, if any, most clearly parallel us in the way we relate to God. And in most cases, I think the clearest parallel, it's not exact 100%, but the clearest parallel, I think, would be Israel, the Old Testament people of God. And so just as we today are the New Testament people of God. Now, applying that to Exodus, well, who are we? Again, good to remember that, again, you're probably not God's chosen savior, Moses or Aaron. No, when applying Exodus, it's probably more likely that we are meant to see ourselves more like Israel. Like God's people back then, who in Exodus are not the heroes of the story, rather they are the enslaved, oppressed, very often helpless, and very often sinful people who desperately need a savior. So that's the Who Am I tool. Now, two more quick tools before we wrap things up. This second last tool is one which I think is often neglected when we think about applying the Bible. Now, oftentimes when we think about application, you know, I think maybe we can sometimes mistake application for the 20 minutes of time at the end of a study, or maybe in some of the studies that I've led, you know, the 5 minutes of time at the end of the study, where we think about, you know, why this passage matters, we talk about its relevance for us today. And well, I think it is right to call what we're doing there in that time application. I think it would, however, be a mistake for us to think that that is all there is to application, and the application stops there. Because the truth is, if God has given us his word, not only for us to understand it, but for it to shape us and affect us, the reality is that it's going to take a whole lot more than just 5 to 20 minutes at the end of a study for us to really do that justice. And so instead, you know, when thinking about application, can I encourage all of us to consider how we can keep meditating on these truths that we've just heard? Because there really is a lot for us to think about and to ponder over. And so here in the box, I've included some questions for us, questions which, again, will get us started applying and meditating on God's word. And so as you apply, do keep thinking over, pondering over, chewing over what the passage is saying and how these truths in the passage ought to affect and change us. Which brings us to my final tip on application, my biggest tip, I think the most important tip that I have for you on application. And that is for us to remember to keep applying God's word prayerfully and in community. God has given us his word for us to know more about him and for it to change and affect us. But when we look at what the Bible has to say about who we are, what we are naturally like, it's clear that these are things which we ultimately need God to help us with. Our hearts naturally reject God's word. We often find it difficult to think about God's word, let alone, you know, live it out. And so as you apply, do remember to do so prayerfully, asking God to work in you, to change you, to help you to believe these truths and to live it out. And do also remember to keep doing this together in community. And so speaking personally, I think this has been one of the greatest tools in growing me to be a better reader and applier of not only Old Testament narratives, but the Bible, period. Because it's as I've met with God's people over the years, you know, seen how people in my Bible study group read and apply the Bible, it's as I've engaged with people who ask me questions and who I've had the opportunity to ask them questions, that God has used this to grow me to be a better reader of the Bible over time. And so can I encourage all of you to keep persevering in what you're doing here at midweek? It really is worthwhile, and it really does go a long, long way to help grow us and strengthen us to be better readers and appliers of God's word. Good. That's all for me. Thank you so much for your patience in just listening to me. We've got some time left. For the rest of our time, I thought maybe what we could do is just in our groups, just have a chat about the things that we've heard today. What are some things that struck you from today's talk? What are some outstanding questions you might still have? Have a chat about those things. And do also remember to pray for one another before we leave. And so I'll leave you all to do that. Thanks for coming all to midweek. We'll see you next week.